And we're reading from John's Gospel, chapter 4. John, chapter 4. We are reading from John 3 this morning. And we was thinking about the Holy Spirit. But we're not talking about the Holy Spirit tonight, not in that sense, but we're reading from John 4. It's a lovely story, a well-known story. I'm sure we all know it very well. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. It's important, that verse. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, for it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" For Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. And the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to a woman, "Believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Hallelujah. What a wonderful passage of scripture that is. And we know that she went on to witness to the whole village where she came from. And they all came out to see the Messiah. Praise the Lord. Let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this tremendous account in your word. And we praise you for what it teaches us. And we pray, O Father, that you will bless us as we consider it tonight. May the Holy Spirit himself be our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I dare say some of you as well as me can remember the big evangelistic campaigns of the past that there have been. Remember the Billy Graham campaigns in this country at Earl's Court and places like that, football stadiums, when thousands of people came and heard the word. And I can almost in my mind now visualize and hear Billy Graham at the end of his message. He used to say, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat. And he made an altar call for people to come forward. And hundreds of people flocked to the front to come and give their hearts to the Lord. And I wonder sometimes how many of those are still going on with the Lord. How many kept it up? How many were taken up with the enthusiasm and the emotion of the moment? I know of one person, only one I think, I know of personally, who did come to the Lord through such a crusade and who did serve the Lord until her dying day. She went to this church and it was a pleasure to serve with her right to the end. She was a faithful servant of the Lord, but she came during a Billy Graham campaign. But I wonder sometimes just how effective they are. You know, amongst the thousands and thousands that answer altar calls in such meetings, I wonder just how many actually become born again of the Spirit and really go on with the Lord as a changed life. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one, and there's no way of really knowing. But what I want us to understand tonight is that although these big campaigns go on, and they do, and people love vast numbers, I've had a bit of a falling out over what's his name? David Hathaway's teaching. I used to think he was a good Bible teacher and all the rest of it until he went a bit wacky and all that. But he was found out in his advertising and he's asking for finance to finance his big campaigns in Russia and all that. He was saying that he was taking this meeting in Russia and there were 5,000 people in this building and all that, and it was proved afterwards the building only held 500. You know, and it was done for advertising, it was done to get people to give. It's a bit dishonest, and people are taken up by numbers sometimes and all that, you know, it plays on their minds, I suppose. I don't know how it works, but numbers, as I've said in the Word this week, denote in the world's eyes success and all the rest of it, which the Bible doesn't speak about. But to tell you what, it speaks about the Lord being concerned for the ones and the twos. And this is the amazing thing. We can look at the two men on the Emmaus Road. concerned and confused over the events of what had been reported of Jesus rising from the dead. And Jesus drew near to them. He drew near to just those two people. We say two men, but they might not have been. In fact, sometimes I wonder whether they were husband and wife. You know, because they were going to a home. And they came back to Jerusalem. But whether they were husband and wife, or two men, or two women, or whatever, Jesus drew near to them and expounded the scripture to them, to two people. And here in this lovely story, we see Jesus taking time and trouble over one woman. I think it's a beautiful story. Because when you look into it, you probably, if a cursory reading of it, it probably doesn't all hit you straight away until you go into the nitty-gritty and the detail of it, which I like to do. It says he left Judea in verse 3 and departed again to Galilee. Now, if you look on a Bible map, you will find that the most direct route from Judea to Galilee would be going through Samaria, which is, we know, the route Jesus took. But that route was hardly ever taken by Jews. They would much rather go the longer way around to avoid Samaria. That's a fact. They didn't go through Samaria if they could really help it. Samaritans were looked upon as a sort of half-breed. And they didn't like Samaritans. They didn't want to have dealings with Samaritans. They were part Jew and part something else, and the Jews didn't like them one bit and didn't have dealings with them, didn't talk to them. But I love that verse 4 where it says here, but he needed to go through Samaria. Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Why? We don't read that he'd done anything else in Samaria that day. He needed because as the Son of the Living God, he knew all things. He had all knowledge. And he knew that that woman would be at the well. And even that in itself was very unusual. It may be because this woman had quite a bad reputation or something. I don't know, because of her past. But we're told it was about the sixth hour. And apparently I'm told that that was the hottest part of the day. And the people didn't go to draw water at the hottest part of the day. But the Samaritan woman did, and Jesus knew she was going to. You see, she probably went to avoid others because perhaps of her reputation. I don't know, I might be reading too much into it. But she went at that particular time when nobody else would probably be going to draw water. But Jesus knew she was, and Jesus met her at the well. And I think that's an amazing thing. Jesus took time and trouble to go and seek out one woman, just one woman, who was in need of salvation. And we can see what happened afterwards. If we were to have gone on in that reading, it tells us the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Could this not be the Christ? And they went out of the city and came to him. She was used as a mighty witness. You see? But Jesus was concerned not with a crowd, but with one woman. And I want us to understand this is the heart of God to you and to me. We might think sometimes, you know, little old me, I'm unimportant, you know, I don't do a lot. Like Joanna that wrote to me, I don't do much. The Lord won't say to me, good and faithful servant, because I haven't done really anything for him. We can get like that sometimes, and we can feel, you know, I'm a bit useless, I don't do much at all for the Lord, you know. But the Lord loves you. The Lord cares for you. You are in the Lord's heart. You know that. And he goes out after the ones and the twos. It tells a story Jesus did of the shepherd with the 100 sheep. The 100 sheep he left, the 99 he left there in the pen, because one was wandering. He went after the one that was lost. That's the heart of God. That's the heart that God has for his people. That's the heart that God has for you tonight. He loves you as an individual. I want you to see that. It cheered my heart when I saw it, when I realized how Jesus needed to go through Samaria. He needed to because of one woman who needed him at that time. And when we look into the conversation that Jesus had, he didn't say an awful lot to her. I think there was about six sort of sentences or so that Jesus spoke to the woman. But here in these words, you see an expert soul winner at work. Have you ever thought how to win souls for the Lord? Jesus didn't beat about the bush, as we'd say. He didn't try to avoid things like people do today. They say, we can't mention sin and that because people get upset. We can't mention hell. Oh, no. We've got to just speak love and all that to people. We've got to water the message down and make it better for people to accept. But Jesus didn't do any watering down. He challenged her on her past life. He challenged her on her sin. He said, you've said, well, I have no husband, but you've had five husbands. And the one you're now living with is not your husband. Jesus pointed it out to her. You see? Because he had all knowledge. He challenged her on her sinful life. He didn't bypass sin. He didn't say, oh, well, God loves you, come to the Lord, and all the rest of it that they do today. He confronted the woman with her sin. And then he revealed himself. Now, this is very remarkable. If you look down at verse 26, in the New King James, it says, Jesus replied to her, I who speak to you am he. But in the original, it says, I am speaking to you. That's what the original says. It doesn't say the he, that's not in it. It says, I am speaking to you. And you know, the I am is the name that Jehovah God gave to himself way back in the Old Testament. When Moses stood at the burning bush, who is it that I'm talking to? He says, I am. He said, who shall I tell Pharaoh has sent me? He says, I am have sent thee. I am the name of God. I am. And Jesus revealed himself to this woman. He said, I am speaking to you. The woman knew. The woman knew what that meant. This was God in human flesh. This was the Messiah. This was the Savior that was promised. No wonder she left her water pots behind her. That which she was going to do, all the things that she had in her mind to do that day, she just left it. Left it behind. Reminds me of blind Bartimaeus who sat by the roadside begging. You know, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He kept shouting out and shouting out. And the crowd tried to stop him. Shut up, Bartimaeus. You're making a lot of noise. But Jesus heard him. And Jesus called him. And what did Bartimaeus do? He threw off his coat. He threw it off because it would have hindered him getting to Jesus. He wanted to get to Jesus as quick as possible. And it says he cast his cloak aside and went to Jesus. This woman left her water pots and went to Jesus, went to speak about him. You know, very often there are stuff that we need to leave behind. You know? Stuff that once we were busy with, some things have to be left behind as we go forward with the Lord to serve him. I always want to just emphasize tonight how Jesus loves you and me. You're no different to the Samaritan woman. He loved the Samaritan woman. She needed him. And so he needed to go through Samaria, almost forbidden territory to the Jew. But he needed to go for the one woman that needed him. And you're no different tonight. You know, you're no different. You're still in his heart. And he loves you. And he'll come with you and he'll meet with you and he'll just be the answer to the problems perhaps that you're facing right now. Jesus is the answer. He's the only answer. Now, Jesus, I sometimes wonder how much he is concerned about the masses of people. I think Jesus preferred to work individually. You know, I'm sure he did. Because he also gave us a wonderful promise. He didn't say, well, where 500 are met together, I'm there in the midst. He said, where two or three are met together in my name, I'm there in the midst. You know, he cares about us. We might look at our little fellowship here tonight and think, you know, why do we bother? I'm sure some people probably do think that. But Jesus bothers. You know, we might feel, well, is it worth going? There's only going to be a few there. Jesus has bothered to come. He's here. He doesn't take the night off because there's only going to be a few. He loves us. And he cares for us as individuals. He needed to go through Samaria. The woman at the well needed him. You know, he knows all about Joanna Weir here. He knows about her. Yes, and I'm sure he will meet her needs and feed her with his precious word. He knows about you. He knows about me. He knows about our needs. I just want to commend Jesus to you tonight. The one who loves you. The one that died to save you. The one who has you in his heart. Amen.